T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes, indeed. Back at you, Semper Fi. Welcome into another edition of Sports Talk here on this Wednesday afternoon. So we're here live from the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort, the new Tap Book Bar and Bistro, Sports Book and Bar. And we are delighted to be here at the once a month on a Wednesday. We are here. And, man, it's a great environment, great day outside. And we're going to talk plenty of football, Saints, LSU, and the National Football League right out of the gates. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. Should Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas be in the MVP conversation? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870 along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. And first, Bobby, that's a sweet-looking shirt you got going on, man.
Yeah, you know, the GOAT. I was thinking about this because, you know, I got hot takes on T-shirts and fans. They'll make it. So look at Taysom Hill, Swiss Army knife. So, and, you know, Swiss Army knife, jack of all trades. I go, jack of all trades, jolt. Instead of goat, jolt. So that's why I came up, look, jack of all trades, Taysom Hill. But now, Christian, he wasn't – that might have been Taysom Hill's poorest game against Tampa Bay last week, considering we expect him to be perfect.
He is human.
Yeah, he is human. We expect him – whenever he touches the ball, it's like a dynamic play. And that was not necessarily the case. That was really the first time I thought maybe Taysom Hill wasn't a strong asset as far as when you're going to utilize, you know, those handful of plays for him.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. QB to QB with Saints quarterback Drew Brees at 635. We bring in now Will Hall. He is in charge here at the new sports book and bar.
The expert.
Yeah. Will, I'm looking at some of these lines in college football. Obviously, LSU. Let's start there. 44 points they're favored over the Razorbacks. They were favored by 51.5 over Northwestern State. So it just goes to show you what odds makers think of Arkansas in general.
Absolutely, and also what they think of LSU. When have you ever seen a 44 in an SEC football game?
I can't recall.
No,
I can't
probably
either.
Never, yeah.
I'm thinking never, yeah.
Boy, and you look at that, and, when you think it – you know, when did they play for the boot? That might be a fake award because I look at Arkansas. Now, they're part of the SEC now. I look at the old Southwest Conference, and I think they're doing the right thing promoting more after LSU, Arkansas and Missouri. I think that's something, you know, Missouri coming to the fold in the SEC, that'd be more a rivalry. But
I miss it, the day after Thanksgiving, though, as it used to be.
Yeah, but Christian – it really – they were trying to make it, but I don't think year in, year out, Arkansas can hang with LSU. So let Arkansas and Missouri have their type of rival game. But
Penn State and Ohio State, 18. Ohio State's favorite over Penn State.
Another monster number, 18. That's just huge. But Ohio State has had no problem chopping the wood.
Is that one where you look at it and you go, you could – you could feel good about putting money on Penn State or no?
Well, Ohio State has crushed everybody, right, Will?
Right. I'm not going near Penn State the way Ohio State's looked.
Yeah, particularly they lost to Minnesota a couple weeks ago.
Exactly, and then they turn around and lay an egg against Iowa. So,
what spreads grab your attention, though, in college football this week?
I thought the UCLA number was interesting, and it's all the way up to 14.5 now against Southern Cal. But, I'm not even sure they should play football west of the Mississippi. I'm just spoiled down here. I like Georgia, Texas A&M. I think that has a potential for an upset. I'm just not sold on Georgia. You know, the loss to South Carolina at home, that still bothers me.
Well, when I watched that game, you can't watch every game, but I did watch that game. To me, as Jake Fromm goes, so goes the Georgia Bulldogs. I think that's going to be the case. Whether it's the SEC championship or at the end of the playoffs, if Jake Fromm plays well, they have a chance. If he does not, and he did not play well against South Carolina, all of a sudden, like, whoa, You're going to lose at home to the Gamecocks? I mean, that was surprising. And to me, it's because Jake Fromm has an opportunity to be an NFL quarterback. So based on his performance, I think, is how Georgia goes. They're outstanding on defense. You know, they're kind of old school. Let me tell you, Georgia is like a Les Miles team. They want to pound it and run it and play style defense. They're not one of these
spreads.
Spread type teams. They're still kind of old school when you look at it.
They like to play action game and the running game as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm curious to know, what do you think of LSU? What do you think their chances are of staying number one and winning it all?
And then were you surprised, Will, that they the competition committee kept them at number one considering that defensive performance against Ole Miss?
No, I think it's definitely they're definitely number one, no doubt about it. And the offense is just a machine right now. And Burrow, holy smoke, he unless he snaps it off, he looks like he's going to be hoisting the trophy. So, I think they're very legit. And we were talking a little. I still think Alabama might be the team to beat. You know, I think Ohio State's very
even
good.
Even without Tua?
Absolutely.
Why?
I just do. I just think they've been there, done that. I think Clemson has absolutely played no one. They should have lost to North Carolina.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, but kudos to Mack Brown for going for it there. I thought that was the right thing to do. And, you know, they were 2 yards away from beating Clemson. But, no, I can see Alabama. I mean, their only loss is to number one LSU. I don't see how you keep them out. You know, and I don't see.
Now, Will, I have a question for
you're
you
saying
about that.
Keep them out. If LSU beats Georgia in the SEC championship game and Alabama wins out, they should be four.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter what happens on the West Coast, whether it's Utah, Oregon, whatever. Because, you know, I think in theory, you want the whole country to be represented. But like you said, I don't know if they play football west of the Mississippi.
Right.
And but is that – does come into consideration the committee? I don't think it does, but how they maybe want Oregon involved.
Yeah, and you know, and it does change because you know I'm an old dude, and the West Coast has had some good teams, just not recently. And there, you just can't put them in the same category right now. So I mean, it is what it is. You can't.
You know, Will, tell me if this is an accurate assessment. And I look at the SEC top to bottom, the conference overall, especially the West part of the SEC. Ohio State, it's amazing how consistent Ohio State has been. Now, not the Michigan Wolverines, Jim Harbaugh. You know, you look at the whole Big Ten. But Ohio State, it seems like year in and year out that they're on that level of the SEC.
Well, I think this year more than ever because usually they have a couple – you know, close ball games and everything, but not this year. They've been covering consistently. They look great on both sides of the ball. I think this team is very legit. But the next two games, I think, are the big test. The Penn State, I think they should roll over. And Michigan, Ohio State's the one that's kind of caught my eye. I want to see what happens there and how that plays out.
Will, I know you guys have completely renovated here at the Tap Book Bar and Sportsbook Bistro and the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort, and man, you guys have done a great job. We've been here a handful of times now, and I'm still very impressed by the renovations that you guys have done.
It's a beautiful room. The crowd loves it, and it's just so versatile is what I love about it. And, you know, I tell you what's great is having you guys in here. I think you guys are a tremendous hit, and I love to see your guys and your smiling faces in this room is a great, great thing for us.
Well, we love it because I think it's going to be a special year. Now, we got to wait and see what happens. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but, boy, look at the expectations. We have not been disappointed so far. You know, you look at August and you look at two-a-days or training camp. But September, October, right before Thanksgiving, look at the hope and the promise if you're an LSU or a Saints fan. What?
Or both.
Or both. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, or both, right? I mean, come on, it's like the heyday. We're living in a fantasy world right now. We considered, if not the best, in the conversation.
Well, I brought this up to Bobby. Can you imagine? January 13th is the national championship game, Monday, in New Orleans in the Superdome. That's also divisional round playoff game for potentially for the Saints. If they're top seed, can you imagine what New Orleans is going to be like? And the Gulf Coast, for that matter, for 48 hours leading into that and through the Monday night national championship game.
You just scared me a little. I'm looking over this room and thinking, oh, my gosh. I might not get a seat in here.
Yeah, it'll be jam-packed. And, boy, you know, we kind of speculate, Will, and And you've seen a lot of great players. And look at Michael Thomas, the year he's having for the Saints. And, you know, you look at the MVP conversation. If it's not a quarterback, how they can get involved. But, you know, the one cat I thought was interesting, and speaking of a cat, he's going to come into town, the Carolina Panthers, and Christian McCaffrey. Talk about a bad dude. I read Mike Dettelier gave me this, and this is unbelievable, Will. And I guess it's accurate because he did some research. Most total yards from scrimmage through the first 10 games of a season in NFL history. I know you're old enough, 1963, Jim Brown, 1,704 yards. O.J. Simpson, 1975, 1,609. Christian McCaffrey, 1,576.
Wow, that's mind-blowing, isn't it?
And we love Alvin Kamara, and that's why I try to tell Saints fans, look, Alvin Kamara has been awesome. But Christian McCaffrey, it might be 1 and 1A, but Christian McCaffrey's even in a different level, considering Carolina's always given the ball, even between the tackles and the punishment that he takes to be able to answer the bell.
Yeah, very true, very true. And that, well, what a list with Jim Brown. I think he's the best to ever play the game.
Will and I did not talk about this before, but everyone respects history and Jim Brown and what O.J. did on the field, not off, obviously.
Of course.
Then you look at Christian McCaffrey. He is that good. And it's almost, when you look at it, Will, it's like, you know, this is a fair observation. When you see a white boy running back at that level, you're like, what? And then it's almost like a white boy cornerback. I'm talking about, I played with Scott Case from Oklahoma, with Atlanta. He won a Super Bowl with Dallas.
Jason Sehorn.
You just don't see it. So how can that not catch your eye? Because it's out of the ordinary.
Right.
And it's
right.
Not like, whoa. It's like, and then all of a sudden, look at this cat.
Will Hall, thanks so much for stopping by, man. And We love being here. Thanks so much for having us.
Love having you guys, and you know the door's always open, so welcome back anytime.
Once a month out here at the Beau Rivage Resort and Casino, the Tap Book Bar and Bistro in Biloxi, Mississippi. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, this is Sports Talk on WWL. Back here at Tap Book Bar and Bistro, Beau Rivage Casino and Resort, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Coming up, our Pelicans Primer with Mark Menard. A couple things I want to point out real quick. First off, I want to thank the fans that came out here to the Beau to come hang out with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Also, Saints injury report, Andrus Peat did not practice today, understandably so, a forearm injury. Marshawn Lattimore did not practice, still dealing with that hamstring injury along with Deontay Harris. And Zach Lyne, the fullback, did not practice with a knee. Josh Hill was limited coming off his concussion along with Larry Wolford, listed with a thigh injury, Austin Carr an ankle injury, and Ryan Ramczyk limited with a knee injury. Marcus Williams, Bobby, we've talked about how his rookie year he was sensational, right? Took a little bit of a step back last year. Look at his numbers this year. 15 targets, 7 catches on him, 70 for 73 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions, 4 PBUs, pass breakups, and a quarterback rating of 43.9 and a coverage grade of 90.9 according to Pro Football Focus.
Well, he's being that center fielder that Jarris Bird was not. You know how we're trying to get, okay, who's going to be that center fielder? You know, the most famous center fielder in the NFL as of late, he's now playing with the Ravens, Earl Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Earl Thomas and the Seahawks defense and what – now, I haven't kept up with him enough with the Ravens, but I just look at his reputation, and I look at Marcus Williams and where he's at. Boy, that's a good problem for the Saints to have. I mean, they can't pay everyone. I mean, Von Bell's playing at a very high level, so is Marcus Williams. So what do? Then you got Marshawn Lattimore, high level. Then you got Eli Apple. Then look at P.J. Williams coming out of nowhere. No, I'll tell you what, that's why we got to win now. We got to win now, right now, because you can't pay everyone. So we got to reap the benefit of their production and get it done this season. Now, we got to wait and see what's going to happen for the rest of the year, but I'm really encouraged what we're doing defensively, because this is what we are praying or hoping for on a consistent basis under Sean Payton. Not being a flash in the pan and being a top-10 defense for a couple of weeks or maybe a month, but how about throughout the season? This is why I'm very encouraged going forward. Right now, the Saints have both a top-10 offense and defense. Total offense, we number 9. We were always 1, for sure in the top 5, 1, 2, or 3. But I kind of like it that our defense is number 5 and our offense is number 9. I kind of like that script flipped a little bit, and that's why I'm very encouraged that right now the Saints, where we're at, we have a top 10 offense and defense, and I think that speaks volumes. And then you look at right now, Christian, all said and done, can you get plus 12, maybe more? Are we plus 8, which is fourth best in the NFL, the turnover margin? Now, I like our chances a lot.
Don't you feel like this offense has still got some points left in it? In other words, they've left some on the field. They're averaging 23.8 yards or 23.8 points per game. I think that
that's
total
like
by
very good.
I think by before the season, that total is going to creep up around 27, 28.
Well, that's what we've done since 2006. Basically, 5 touchdown more. If you just look at it, the most prolific offenses since 2006 has been the Patriots, Saints, Packers. I want to say off the top of my head, but I'll look at my notes, that we had like 28 points a game or 28 and a half points a game. Only the Patriots are better than us over a dozen years. Now think about that. That's a big enough sample size. So that could make the difference down the road. Instead of scoring, 23 points a game, maybe we get 27 to 30. That could be the difference of whether you're winning or losing.
If you're wondering, the Baltimore Ravens lead the league in scoring 34.1 points per game. They rush for 203 yards a game, and their total yards, 428.6, good for second best in the National Football League. We'll step away and come back and get Pelicans Primer with Mark Menard next here on WWL. The beautiful Tapbook Bar and Bistro here at the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort in Biloxi. Welcome back, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Time now for Pelicans Primer, brought to you by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why. We know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. Don't look now, but the Pelicans have won 4 out of the last 6. They beat the Trailblazers last night, 115-104. Mark's starting to look like they're improving a little bit.
That's right. They look like they're starting to figure a few things out. They're getting guys back from injury. Brandon Ingram returned last night, and you know he's been traditionally the leading scorer for the Pels. He had 21 last night, just 1 point behind Drew Holiday, who actually led the team with 22. But they're also getting to see a lot of development out of their younger players while the other players sit with injury, and that in itself is also a good thing because they're building a lot of depth on that bench, and we're seeing. Guys really start to shine. Jackson Hayes, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and a guy who's kind of flown under the radar is Kenrich Williams. Now, Kenrich Williams has been in the starting lineup a couple of times now because of injuries. He's in his second year in the league. He came out of TCU. He went undrafted last year. He was on the Pelicans G League team. But last night, he filled up the stat sheet with what you might want to call hustle plays. And in fact, his nickname is Kenny Hustle. But he had 14 rebounds, 3 steals, drew 3 charges, blocked a shot, scored 8 points. So he's contributing a lot on both ends of the floor, and the players really are taking to him. They call him the heart and soul of the team. So they've hit on yet another guy who's just beginning his NBA career who could, you know, turn into something special, if not a star, but at least as a role player. So this is a team that is building depth with young guys who are going to, you know, develop and flourish. And they're setting themselves up for a lot of success in the future. They're sitting at 5-9, and right now that's good for tied for third in their division, believe it or not. Houston's sitting there at 11-3 in the Southwest. Dallas is 8-5. And you have Memphis, San Antonio, and New Orleans all sitting at 5-9, all in a 3-way tie. So they're kind of moving their way up the standings here. Like you said, they've won 4 out of their last 6. They're on a nice little roll right now, got a little momentum going. Hopefully they'll be getting guys back off of injuries here in the coming days. You know, there's still a lot of guys out. Derek Favors missed the game last night. Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, all these guys need to get back from injury. And, of course, Zion Williamson is still rehabbing after that knee surgery that derailed his debut at the beginning of the season. So next up for the Pelicans, a game tomorrow night in Phoenix. They're going to start off a 3-game road trip in Phoenix. Then they'll head to Salt Lake City to take on the Jazz. They'll take on the Clippers in L.A., but it all starts tomorrow night. And the game will be on national TV on TNT out in the desert. So people who maybe checked in on the Pels early on, they can check in again and see how this team is developing and growing.
Now, Mark, looking at what they've done lately, won consecutive games for the first time this season, But how are you realistically looking at this road trip? Like you said, three-game road trip at Phoenix, Utah, and the L.A. Clippers. To win one out of the three or what? Because that's look where Phoenix playing above and are better than expected. And we all know playing at Utah, then the Clippers, who knows when they consider maybe going against the best of the best. So if we can get one of those wins, you'd still be encouraged or what?
Yeah, I would definitely be encouraged with one of those wins. I think they can get the win in Phoenix. The Suns are only sitting at 7-6. They're not, you know, blowing the world up here in the NBA. They're another team that's good and young, and they have a lot of young pieces, Devin Booker especially. But I think that that's a win that they can get. The Jazz are going to be the Jazz for whatever reason are always a tough matchup for the Pelicans.
Yeah,
and especially playing over there, that might be difficult, but it's not unwinnable. And then the Clippers, you know, you never know whether or not Kawhi is going to play.
And
they've already beaten the Clippers once here in New Orleans. It's not out of the realm of possibility to say that they could beat them again, especially if Kawhi Leonard takes another load management night. You know, he doesn't seem too concerned with taking on the Pelicans. He's kind of saving himself for the Lakers and the Rockets and teams like that. So maybe he takes another night off. It will be a back-to-back for the Pelicans with both games being on the road, and those are always tough. So they'll hit Salt Lake City Saturday night and then hop on a plane to L.A. and play the Clippers on Sunday. Not the easiest road trip, but manageable. And if they take one out of the three, I wouldn't be ecstatic, but I'd be happy. And if they win two or three, then now you're getting into the realm where, okay, now we got something going.
Over these last six games, as we mentioned, they're 4-4-2 in those six games. What have you seen from their defense? Have they started to improve there?
They have. I've said it a few times now. You know, it takes some time when you have all these new pieces for that chemistry on defense to start to gel, for the communication to come into play, and you're starting to see it. You know, we saw a little bit of it last night against a team in the Trailblazers that, albeit is struggling, and they were without Damian Lillard, but we saw some good things from the Pelicans on defense last night, and especially in transition, you know, getting out, running on the fast break and turning defense into offense. We're starting to see that happen. And not just from the starters, you know, like I said, we've got a lot of guys out right now, and the bench is really developing well. You're getting a lot of play from guys who, you know, may not see as many minutes going forward once everybody gets healthy, but you'll know that in the back of their head they have that experience that they've gotten on the court, and that could serve you well late in the season if you do have some more injuries late in the season. You've got guys that have a little bit of experience, but Nikhil Alexander Walker, Kenrich Williams, Jackson Hayes, Nicolo Melli is starting to look pretty good as well. He had 14 points last night, and he had five straight where he hit a three and then also hit a two on a fast break. And that really kind of broke Portland's back when he did that. That put them up late in the fourth quarter by double digits, and that seemed to kind of be the finisher in the game right there. So you've got a lot of guys contributing right now with a few starters on the bench.
Pelicans Primer. That wraps up Pelicans Primer, sponsored by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why. We know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. Mark, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Happy to do it.
Bobby, I want to pick your brain on Myles Garrett, the Cleveland Browns pass rusher that was suspended indefinitely after last Thursday night's fracas on the field with the Pittsburgh Steelers, one in which Mason Rudolph was conked over the head after Myles Garrett ripped off his helmet. He's appealing his indefinite suspension. In your mind.
So what is he appealing?
That he shouldn't be suspended indefinitely, that he should be able to come back after five games, six games, what have you. The season's almost over. He wants to play this year. I think that the NFL is going to be unwilling to listen to that because he used the helmet as a weapon.
I agree. Come on. It's assault. I mean, listen, if you get ticked off, you can rip off his helmet. Just throw it like Kyle Turley. I don't know. Just throw it like 20 yards away where you're not hitting nobody. You have to know that you cannot hit. That. What does the helmet weigh, 5 pounds? Good thing that the hard part didn't hit
the soft spot in the head. We'd be having an entirely different conversation.
No, I mean, Christian, I don't know. You could be paralyzed. You could kill someone. So, that's not justified. You might listen, a defensive player will take up a defensive player, and then the game of football and how you go berserk or you want to stomp on somebody, kick them or whatever. And I don't even blame Pouncey. Oh, Abar, you're an offensive player. But Pouncey protected his quarterback. I'm sure Steelers fans looked at it now, punching and kicking. But the kicking, listen, the bottom line is once you have a helmet on, why are you ever punching? You're just going to break your hand. you might want to, maybe if you could punch him in the throat, you might get a blow in there. But I don't know. It got out of hand, and it shouldn't be that way. So, to me, Myles Garrett definitely should not play the rest of the season. You have to send a message out there. Now, it'll be interesting to see the appeal process if it occurs or affects the 2020 season, because it could go into the 2020
season.
Very
well could.
I could see the rest of the season he's out.
I could see two games in the next year.
No postseason. That could happen. To me, I would say the scenario right now, two games into next season or just this season in the postseason.
Mason Rudolph,
I think that's what's going to come about.
By the way, Mason Rudolph admitted some culpability in his role in that whole deal. He did get fined.
Well, you know, but when he got his helmet turned off.
Why keep going after Myles?
Yes, Garrett? You got to run. You're a quarterback. What the hell are you going to be like, tough guy, go fight? Come on. Yeah, look who you fighting. Hello? No, when that avid Christian, he needs to let his boys do their thing. You don't think Pouncey was going to do his thing? Yeah, he was coming. So that's why the goal, like, come on. It's like almost like a barroom fight on a football field. And in this day and age, obviously, you cannot do that. And but you know what's unbelievable? It just goes to show you Myles Garrett, well-spoken. Here's an individual that he just lost his mind, and he's not that kind of individual. It just goes to show you. But you have to know the situation and the game and where you're at. You're kicking the Steelers behind. You don't have to do that. I mean, but you never know how players react. And the bottom line is you have to send a message if you're the NFL. Like, this is totally unacceptable because something bad could really happen. I mean, as far as someone being paralyzed or death, and that's why you have to nip this in the bud. And
you can't roll back on this if you're the NFL. You can't. I've never seen anything like this. I've seen some fights, right? We've seen some things go crazy.
That's why I said if you're that mad, do like Kyle Turley. You might lose a couple of game checks. Just throw the helmet away, but you can't use it as a weapon. And, you want to talk about decisions gets magnified. All of a sudden, you're losing millions of dollars for just being out of control. I mean, it's just unacceptable. And the NFL is violent enough, even though they're trying to change the rules with helmet to helmet and all that. Without having look, it's not championship wrestling or even a hockey fight, which they're trying to promote the game. The NFL don't have to promote the game in that way as far as extracurricular stuff. This let the game speak for itself without, after the whistle, giving each other the business.
Should the NFL reduce Myles Garrett's suspension? I want to hear from you at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrett coming to you from the Tapbook Bar and Sportsbook Bistro, live from the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort here on WWL.
So, Christian, when you get mad at me, don't take the headset.
You're the one that's violent. You're the one that's always punching me in the arm.
No, I hit you in the arm to get you excited.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrett here at the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort, the brand new Tapbook Bar and Bistro here on WWL. I'm looking at these point spreads that the book has put out over here, Bobby. And in the NFL, the one that really jumps out at me, and I go, why? And I'm not a handicapper, right? And I'm not even a professional bettor. I think I made three bets last year. But I
well,
look
did
at,
you win three bets?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then you're professional, Chris.
No.
You won.
The Browns are favored by 10.5 points at home against the Dolphins. I mean, come on, it's still the Browns. They don't have their best player, Myles Garrett. We just talked about him. And I know it's Miami, but Miami had a two-game winning streak. They just recently lost, but come on. I mean –
Well, any time to me, NFL double digits, that has to catch your attention. Even SEC game, we talked about it with LSU, 44-point favorite to Arkansas. I mean, that's a lot of points. You can have a convincing win and still not cover. But looking at the Saints, weren't the Saints now 9, maybe 10 points?
9.5 here.
Man, that's a lot of points. Carolina, now it'll be interesting to see, can our offensive line produce like we did against Tampa Bay, because we did not get it done against Atlanta. We were sacked 6 times. The reason why I bring that up, because who's the number one sack getter or sack team in the NFL?
The Panthers.
Carolina Panthers. They have the most sacks at 39, so they have to feel confident. They can look at that Falcons film, and now it's a challenge to the Saints offensive line. I think we're going to respond, because I think when we focus – We have the one of the best offensive lines in that conversation for sure. I always say top three, top five. But, Christian, how are we going to respond? When I look at Easton, all of a sudden, it doesn't get any easier.
Well.
He played unbelievable against Tampa, but then you got to do it again. Then you got to do it again because Andrews Peak got a broken arm. But the one thing why I'm always encouraged is the Saints. Since 2006 under Sean Payton, do you know Drew Brees and the Saints are number one least sack team? 333 sacks given up. The Patriots are number three. The Saints, Tom Brady's been sacked 401 times. That's a big difference. Think about that. 333 to 401. And even this year, which has been an off year for the Saints, we still number six in the NFL, least sack team, only 19 sacks, and that was six against Atlanta.
Bobby, one of the things I always listen to you when you talk about, I've learned from you when you talk about turnovers, and look, the Saints are plus eight. The Panthers, they also can't stop the run, and they can't get off the field on third down, and they don't convert on third down. That's not long-term winning success.
Well, right now they are even. They're not on the negative side in a turnover margin. They're right at zero, and the Saints are plus eight. And we all know that's winning football. But let me tell you, Carolina's defense has tallied 19 total takeaways. They've had 12 interceptions, seven fumble recoveries. So that's number six in the NFL. So the Saints got to protect the football. They're going to have to win on the offensive line and Drew Brees. We can't throw picks. We can't fumble the ball. Now, what's encouraging about that, the Saints are number one. We only have six giveaways so far this season. So we don't play sloppy. So I'm encouraged by that. But Carolina has been opportunistic. Right now, Christian, they should not be even. They should for sure be on the plus side, but their offense has turned it over.
Yeah, and Christian McCaffrey, you were talking about him, and look, I have a lot of respect for that dude. That cat can play. But when you are 45% of your team's offense, that's not good. I mean, you can neutralize that. If that's the only real threat that they have,
why are the defenses had neutralized Michael Thomas? Christian McCaffrey is
Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara.
Christian McCaffrey.
He doesn't have Mike Thomas on his team.
It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. Christian McCaffrey has not been neutralized by any NFL team like Michael Thomas. Now, if the Saints do, it'd be the first one. If you look at this,
like the Saints game.
First player in NFL history. First player in NFL history with 1,000 rushing yards and 500 receiving yards the first 10 games in a season. That's McCaffrey. No Michael Thomas. And Christian McCaffrey, two peas in a pod.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.